Do you know, I couldn't help but think just again today and over the last few days how we have heard from the depth of God's heart. Before the conference started, I was actually in hospital last week and I had a lot of time, unfortunately 6 days in bed. It was very boring, but it gave me an opportunity just to rest in God's presence. And I really felt God say that this is not just a conference. And I know, you know, I've heard that before, people say that before, but I felt that he was intentionally gathering people together for what is ahead of us. And he knows what we don't know. And he has poured out his heart to us through the speakers, arresting our attention, wanting us to be illuminated with the truth that he is alive today, that hope is alive today, and that we are carriers of that hope. We are carriers of that truth, and we hold huge responsibility to show the world that hope. Because he is alive through you and I today. He is not physically here, but he is living, breathing, oozing out of our life to a lost and dying world. And I just pray we all take the words that have been spoken over us from lives that have walked it out, that know what it is to have this living Spirit of God in their lives, in real situations, allowing the world to see. The world wants us to see, is God real? Is anybody out there? They want to see, does your God really work? Because I need somebody to help me. We're going to take the opportunity in this session to have communion together. And just say, take some time to be thankful. And just to reflect on the power of what took place on that cross. That theme has run all through this conference. If I could sum it up in a sentence, I was thinking, how could I sum up what everyone's been saying over the last few days? And to me, it's like God saying, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by my Spirit. Please understand that and walk it out. Allow my Spirit to live and breathe through you to this world. We're going to reflect on those final words that Jesus spoke on the cross when he said, it is finished. It's over. I have overcome the world. I've already done it. That last natural breath on earth that he exhaled while he was here, and that powerful exchange that took place when the Spirit of God raised him up, and as he entered heaven, he inhaled that potent, death-defying, life-giving breath of heaven that lives in us today. Death-defying. We have that within us. He overcame and defeated all principalities, all powers, not just some of them, but all of them. And he rose from the grave and triumphed in victory. And because of that, so can you and I. Because of him. John 16:33 says in the Amplified Bible, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace." In the Passion Bible it says that the peace that is in me will be in you. In the world you have tribulation and distress. We've heard that over the last few days. And suffering. But be courageous. Be confident. Be undaunted. Be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished. My victory is abiding. It is finished. When something's finished, it's over. It's entirely done. It's completed. When we overcome, we conquer. We triumph. That's what Jesus did on our behalf. We don't have to do that in our own strength. We have one that's done it for us on our behalf. Everything that we need to live as an overcomer has been given to us already. It's not about us. It's not about our striving, how good we are. It's about what He's done for us. We have everything we need. We have already got it. It's already been accomplished. I love how Colossians 2, 6 to 10 in the Message puts it. "My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You receive Christ Jesus, the Master, now live Him. You're deeply rooted in Him. You're well constructed upon Him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it." I love that. "And let your living spill over into thanksgiving. Watch out for people who try to dazzle you with big words and intellectual double talk. They want to drag you off into endless arguments that never amount to anything. They spread their ideas through the empty traditions of human beings and the empty superstitions of spirit beings. But that's not the way of Christ. Everything of God gets expressed in Him, so you can see and hear Him clearly. You don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of the universe without Him. When you come to Him, that fullness comes together for you too. His power extends over everything." Full stop. Not just some things in our life, everything. You know, when Jesus was about to leave this earth, He made a promise to us that He would send the Holy Spirit to us. And the Holy Spirit has been so highlighted in this conference. He said that He would not leave us powerless to try and conquer and overcome in our own strength, but He would send somebody to be present in our everyday for every situation we face in life. That same Holy Spirit power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead now is with us. That's powerful. The same one. He promised us that He would be present with us to walk out our journey. You know what to be present means? It means to be here and now. Not up there somewhere. God, I hope you're there. No, He's here. He's here right now. He's right here beside me. Otherwise, I wouldn't be standing up here in front of you. It means to show up. It means to be close to. I love what Helen Keller said, and Paul has referred to this incredible woman about having God close. She said, "I know that life is given to us that we may grow in love. And I believe that God is in me as the sun is in the color and fragrance of the flower, the light in my darkness. The voice in my silence. He's with us. He's in us. He's present in this room today. John 16:7 in the Amplified Bible says, "But I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage, it's to my advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the standby will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him, the Holy Spirit, to you to be in close fellowship with you." The Holy Spirit's presence is God with us. God with us, enabling and empowering us in our life to overcome. He's not a myth. He's a person. He's with us. He's not just a story. He's just not an imagination. He's a person. And he longs for us to engage with him. The question is, are we activating and living out this advantage that has been given to us? Are we living it out? Are we living out that advantage? Do we know him on a personal level? Are we engaging with him? Are we asking him into every situation in our life, every part of who we are? Because he's there waiting for us. His purpose isn't to just live dormant in us, it's to live powerfully through us. Acts 1:8 in the Amplified says, "But you will receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be witnesses." It's the Holy Spirit in our life that distinguishes us to the world. His power, his might, his presence at work in our life. The advantage of the Holy Spirit's presence in our life that Jesus promised would come to us. One of the things it does is it rescues us from ourselves. I'm so glad about that. He rescues us from ourselves by helping us see what we are not aware of. We've already heard about that in some of the messages. He helps us to see what we don't see, those blind spots. Those hidden things that are tucked away in our heart that nobody knows about. Or maybe we don't even realize that are there. He helps us see and he draws it out. The things that are hindering us to live in this freedom of an overcomer. Proverbs 20:27, I'm going to be reading a lot of scripture today because I love the power that is in the Word of God. It's life transforming. But in the Passion Bible, it says, "The Spirit God breathed into man is like a living lamp, a shining light searching into the innermost chambers of our being." Another verse in Psalm 139:23 from the Passion said, "God, I invite your searching gaze into my heart. Examine me through and through. Find out everything that may be hidden within me. Put me to the test. Sift through all my anxious cares." You know, all we need to do is not be good enough or at the right place or whatever. We just need to say, "Holy Spirit, please show me what's not of you, what's not of you, what's hidden in there, what's hindering me. I want to be free. I want to be free to have you flow through my life. Show me what's there." And when he reveals to us what it is, he encourages us to go there, then let it go and give it to him so that he can fill that space, that hidden space, that pain space, that dark space, that place, so that he can be in that space so that there's more of him in there than there is of us. Oftentimes, you know, We're good at compartmentalizing things or pushing things down. But they don't go away, they grow. And He wants to grow bigger in that place than the things that potentially are growing because we've hidden them away or they're blocked there that sometimes we're not even aware of. And His Holy Spirit searchlight comes into that place and goes, hey, you need to give me that. You know, in my own life, I was reminded as a young girl, I became a Christian when I was 18. And in my early 20s, my dad died when I was 10. And I thought I was just doing a noble thing by having this memorial in my heart toward my father, for my dad, and for holding that heart love, that place setting in my heart for the love that my father gave to me and the love that I had for him. And, you know, I'd built this big, humongous memorial wall around my heart. And the Holy Spirit came to me one day and just shone a light in that place. And He said, you know what, Marie, as noble as that is, there is fear attached to that memorial that you've got. Some of you may have your own memorial today, and I pray that the torchlight of the Holy Spirit comes and brings freedom to you. But He said, you know, as noble as that is, Marie, there's fear attached to that. He said, I know you don't want to lose the memory of your daddy, because that was the fear. The problem is, it's keeping others away. And it's keeping you behind the wall. You have to let it go. You got to trust me. I've got your back. Walk away. Hold on to my hand. Walk away and allow me to fill that space. I had no idea up until that point that that was a hindrance in my life. I was doing it because no one else was going to take that place in my heart that I had for my dad. But problem was, over years it became a fear. The older I got and the more distance that it was from that little girl, I didn't want to forget. But He held on to me and helped me walk away, because fear was restricting me and I had no idea. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. In John 14, 26 to 27 in the Passion, it says, but when the Father sends the Spirit of holiness, the one like me who sets you free, He'll teach you all things in my name, and He'll inspire you to remember every word. My team know me too well. that I've told you. I leave the gift of peace with you, my peace. Not the kind of fragile peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. Don't yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. Instead, be courageous. Do you know He never comes to condemn, He comes to reveal. Hey, Marie, that fear doesn't belong there. Hey, Marie, that attitude doesn't belong there. Hey, Marie, that pain doesn't belong here. Hey, Marie, that disappointment, it doesn't belong here. Give it to me. Allow me to empower you and enable you to live free and to live as an overcomer, because I've already made the exchange for you. I've already done it. Just give it to me and allow me to fill that space. Thank God I'm not the person I was when I gave my heart to Jesus as an 18-year-old girl. I'm so thankful today, and that's not because I've arrived. That's just because I've chose to open up those places when the spotlight comes on and says, hey, Marie, and you know it's going to come on till the day I die. Hey, Marie, I'm still overcoming. I'm still exchanging. Hopefully becoming more like who I was created to be. So it rescues us from self. Oh, this is so unladylike. Thanks. He rescues us from ourselves by helping us see. Another thing he does, he reveals whose we are and reminds us we can live secure, we can live grounded, we can be helped by him to hear the heart of the Father for us. And the Bible encourages us in Proverbs to train our hearts to hear God. That's one of the jobs that the Holy Spirit has, to try and get us to a place where we will hear the Father's heart. But we also need to train ourselves to lean in so that we're in a position that we can hear. One of the things Jesus did time and time again was went aside to hear the heart of his Father so that he could walk out and be strong and encouraged in the strength that he got from his Father on a daily basis. Psalm 119:89-94 in the Passion says, "Standing firm in the heaven and fastened to eternity is the word of God. Your faithfulness flows from one generation to the next. All that you created sits firmly in place to testify of you. By your decree, everything stands to attention. For all that you have made serves you. Because your words are my deepest delight. I didn't give up when all else was lost." Does anybody else concur with that? "I can never forget the profound revelations you taught me, for they have kept me alive more than once. I'm all yours, and you're my Savior. I have sought to live my life pleasing to you." You know, when we feel like a failure, when we feel like maybe others have failed us, he reminds us through his word. He speaks truth. You know, all through the word, he's speaking to us. His Father's heart is speaking to us all through the word. And I'm reminded again of the fierce love of a father when I read about the prodigal son. There's no judgment. There's just open arms saying, "Son, I'm so glad you're home. I love you so much. I have missed you." You hear and see and are reminded of his desire for our lives. His word is always speaking to us. But are we zoned in? Are we listening? The Holy Spirit's job, one of his jobs, is to help us and encourage us to tune in. I don't know about you, but this happens to me quite often in my household. When I might be talking and telling a story or whatever, telling something, and at the end of that story, I'll ask a question to the person, which I'm not mentioning any names, that lives in my house with me, my husband. And I realize he has not heard a word I said. Got you back. Because he has zoned out. Selective hearing, they call it. He wasn't tuned in. You know, God is always speaking to us, just like I'm always speaking to Paul. But we need to zone in to hear him. Because his word speaks to us. It changes us. It encourages us. It corrects us when we need to be corrected. You know, I didn't have a father in my home. I had a father for 10 years, but I don't know what it's like to be fathered in a natural way. And there may be many people in this room, and you have not maybe had a father in your home, or a dysfunctional father at best. And you know, our perception can be confused by our previous circumstances or our history of God and of His love. And one of the Holy Spirit's jobs is, and what He's done for me and helped me to see, is what it's like to be fathered through the Word, through speaking to me, by showing me, by highlighting things to me through His Word, how God loves, how God responds, how God fathers us, what a father's love does, how a father's love empowers. That's what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, and it assures us and gives us assurance, and He's anchored me in every season of life and caused me to stay when I've wanted to walk away. Because the Father's love is speaking all the time. We just need to listen. It has shaped me. It has guided me. It has helped stabilize me when I felt like I was sinking. It's a living, breathing Word. And His Holy Spirit that is in us is living and breathing and empowering us to live as an overcomer. Do you know there's statistics in New Zealand, and it says like a third of New Zealand homes are fatherless. You know, I know what it's like to grow up in a fatherless home, and many end up down unhealthy pathways, to say the least, when a father is absent from a home. I was one of those, ended up in drugs, left home when I was 15 years old, and whatever, that was history. But it doesn't mean we can't flourish in life today, because we have the Father's love, we have the Father's heart, we have the power of the Holy Spirit revealing to us on a daily basis who our Father is and who we are in Him. We don't have to be a victim. We can live in victory. And you know, the revelation of God's love has literally changed my life. Ephesians 1, I'm not going to read it all for the sake of time, in 3 to 8, just talks about how our Heavenly Father has adopted us into His family. And there's a powerful verse in there. It's from the Passion Bible. And He says that the same love that the Father has for His beloved one, Jesus, He has for us. Can you imagine that? Do we really understand that? How much He loved His Son. He gave His only Son so that we could have freedom. The Son that He loved, that He cherished, He watched Him grow through anguish and anxiety and pain and heartache and feel all the natural things on this earth. Actually, because He loved us. But it says that He loves us as much as He loves Jesus, and that's a whole lot. He rescues us from ourselves by helping us see. He reveals who we are by helping us hear the heart of the Father. And then He represents us, I love this, by bypassing this human natural mind and speaking direct to God on our behalf. When we speak in a heavenly language, we bypass any natural human. You know, the enemy only has domain down here. He doesn't have domain up there. And we have a direct line, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, to heaven. He's the one that gives us divine authority. And the Holy Spirit's voice is the authority on heaven, in heaven, and on earth. There are many times I haven't known what to pray, how to pray, only to just get on my knees and fall flat on my face and speak in a heavenly language, because the Holy Spirit knows what I don't know. He knows what I need more than I know what I need. And sometimes, you know, you're praying on behalf of somebody else, but He knows better than we know what to pray. We may think we know what to pray, but He knows what we really need to pray. That's why it's so important to engage and activate this gift that we've been given with the language of the Holy Spirit. So powerful. I'm so grateful that the Holy Spirit's woken other people up in the middle of the night, as He has with me, to pray for somebody else that I have no idea what I'm praying for. But He also has woken up other people, and they've come to me and say, Marie, I don't know what's going on in your life, but I just felt to pray for you last night in the middle of the night. And the Holy Spirit just showed me that I needed to pray. And I'm like, thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're representing me to the Father. Thank you. He rescues us from ourselves by helping us see. He reveals who we are by helping us hear the Father's heart. He represents us by helping us speak direct to God. And then lastly, He realigns how we live and respond by helping us reach beyond ourselves and walk out grace. We can't do that on our own. We live in a fallen world. We live with humans all around us. We get hurt. We get disappointed. We get let down. We let down people. But when we stand before the cross, the Holy Spirit reminds us, Marie, that grace that you've been given, that power that took place on the cross is in you to forgive. You cannot stand before the cross and hold unforgiveness in your heart. When you know what you know, when you know what took place on that cross, when you are aware of the Holy Spirit power that resides in you, you cannot hold on to unforgiveness in your life. That would be called a hypocrite if I did that, because I have been given so much grace. Why wouldn't I be able to extend that to those that hurt me? Galatians 6, 1 to 3 says, my beloved friends, if you see a believer who is overtaken with a fault, may the one who overflows with the Spirit seek to restore him. Win him over with gentle words, which will open his heart to you and keep you from exalting yourself over him. Love empowers us to fulfill the law of the Anointed One as we carry each other's troubles. If you think you're too important to stoop down to help another, you're living in deception. Do you know, on many occasions, the Holy Spirit has presented an opportunity to me. And I say as an opportunity because He won't make us do anything, but presented me the opportunity to extend grace when others haven't always, in my eyes, deserved it, not in His eyes. Extended that opportunity to forgive. In those times when we're hurt, when people let us down, when we don't understand why people do what they do, what are we doing about that advantage that we've been given? What are we overflowing with? Are we overflowing with the grace, or are we overflowing with self? You know, when 4 years after my father died, my mother met a man and married him. And he basically was a catalyst of causing a train wreck in our family. In fact, he was the speed train. At 15 years old, I left home, got involved in drugs and all sorts of stuff. And when Paul and I got married, my mother had divorced that man because it was the wrong choice. But just before Paul and I got married, she remarried the same man. This man that had destroyed our family. Our family were four boys, and I was the little girl. And we all split. What's with this? I told myself before I got home, I'm not going to cry. Anyway, honestly, I'm not sad about it anymore. I'm not. It's just when the Holy Spirit does this, it happens. Anyway, the Holy Spirit's question to me was, as we were preparing the invitation list, how's that advantage going, Marie? How's that self going, Marie? Are you going to invite him to the wedding? And you know what? I can honestly say we invited him to the wedding. It was no big deal of mine. I could not have done that in my own strength. He destroyed our family. But I honestly say I did it without any remorse in my heart. And you know what happened? Several years ago, I heard, he was married before my mother. He married my mother twice. He married another woman after my mother. And I heard that he died. And he died alone in a garage. And I honestly felt sorry for him. I just thought, God, only you could do that. Your grace is powerful. You know, even when it hurts, we have no right not to extend that grace to somebody else. Philip Yancey, I read about an interview that he did about his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, and why he wrote the book. And he just said, you know, as I studied Jesus' life, the notion of grace kept hitting me in the face. All his stories made the wrong person the hero. The prodigal son, not the responsible older brother. Lazarus, not the rich man. The good Samaritan, not the Jewish rabbi. And I began to see grace as one of the great, often untapped powers of the universe that God has asked us to set loose. Human society runs by ungrace. I don't even know if that's a word, but ranking people, holding them accountable, insisting on reciprocation and fairness. Grace is by definition unfair. Powerful. Do you think Jesus could have said, it's unfair, God? This is unfair. I did nothing wrong. Look what they've done to me. Instead, he said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them, Father. Forgive them. When Jesus said the Holy Spirit would come and it would be to our advantage, he meant it. And he also knew that we would need it because we don't have it within ourselves. We would need to be empowered to overcome beyond our natural ability on many levels and in many circumstances that we're going to face along our journeys. We're going to finish with this just before Jamie comes. In Psalm 86, 15 to 16. But Lord, your nurturing love is tender and gentle. You're slow to get angry, yet so swift to show your faithful love. You're full of abounding grace and truth. Bring me to your grace fountain. I love that. So that your strength becomes mine. Be my hero and come to rescue me once again. We stand today and are benefited and empowered from that grace fountain. I pray that we never take that for granted. That we never stop being thankful. We're going to hand out communion right now. And it's going to come down your row. It's a little jar. It's got a little plastic thing on the top. You just peel that back. Take the bread and then peel it back and drink. But don't do it just yet. I mean, the communion can take, be handed out. But I just want to take a moment to contemplate and just be thankful for the advantage that we've been given. Let's never take it for granted. The power of this Holy Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. Let's be thankful to the Father for sending His Son Jesus and for Jesus to do what He did on our behalf and then to be sent the Holy Spirit to walk with us right here, right now. He rescues us from ourselves and helps us see what we need to see and release it to His enabling and power. And there's an exchange that takes place. Reveals to us whose we are and how loved we are by helping us hear the heart of our Father. Represents us by bypassing our natural and speaking direct to God on our behalf. I'm so thankful for that. Then realigns how we live and respond beyond ourselves by helping us walk out that abounding grace that has been given to us. As Jamie sings, let's just thank Him one more time. I know we've done it over the course of this conference, but just quietly listen to the words and then thank Him one more time for the advantage that we have in the overpowering, overcoming power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jamie.
There's a space in every beating heart. There's a longing that reaches past the stars. There's an answer to every question mark. There's a name. There's a hope flowing through these veins. There's a voice that echoes through the pain. There's an ember ready for the flame. There's a name. We will fix our eyes on the one who overcame. Stand in awe of the one who breaks the chains. Love has a name. Love has a name. Jesus. Yes, it does. Love has a name. Love has a name.
Why don't you stand with us as we sing?
There's a joy that triumphs over fear. There's a laughter that wipes away all tears. There's a presence that changes atmospheres. There's a name.
Oh, there is.
We will fix our love has a name.
Come on, if you haven't taken communion, why don't you take a moment now? With your hearts open, come on, with your thankfulness on your lips, and just start to begin to thank God. Come on, thank the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, in your own way, in your own time. And start to digest what Pastor Maria so brilliantly put to us, that He has given you and I, come on, the grace to live out what He's called us to live out. The Bible says in the book of Matthew that He doesn't put anything on us that is too overbearing for us to handle, that the yoke is easy, the burden is light. And as you partake of who Jesus is, come on, maybe you're believing for healing in your body. Maybe you're believing for an answer to prayer. You're believing for something in your thankfulness as you partake of Jesus Himself. You partake of love. As you partake with these little emblems, that symbol, the body broken, the blood was shed, that you partake of the freedom that is in the cross. Come on, the overcoming power Pastor Marie was talking about this morning. As we take communion in our own time, as we continue to worship, let's hold on to the belief and the hope we have in Jesus and see His power at work in our lives. So in your own time, why don't you take communion as we worship.
Fix our eyes on the world.